here. Come on. What an introduction. You guys are so excited to be here. What a good looking group. Hey, let's stand together. We're going to open up with Oh Happy Day.
Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face. I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy and perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. Wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious way that you have saved me. Oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious day. Jesus. And oh, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Forever I am changed.
Hey, give him a big hand.
Well, good morning, 12th Street. You may be seated. I hope it's a happy day for you. And I hope the day that you, I hope you can remember when you trusted Christ as your Savior. Because that is a happy day. If you don't remember, then boy, I would just say, I want to have that memory in my mind. Because that is a great thing. So if you don't remember, then maybe you need to do it. And maybe today can be that day. So, I'm excited for all that we have going on this morning, and if you'll take your bulletin and follow along with me, there's a few things that we need to highlight. Tonight, we have something for the whole family. We have Craig Tornquist is coming with us. He's a comedian. He's going to spend an hour and a half with us tonight just having fun and laughing as a church, okay? That is a good thing, right? I hope you laugh with your family every once in a while. And as a church family, there are times that we need to get together and just spend some time laughing. So tonight at 5:30, we will begin eating, and Craig will come on at 6, and we'll eat while he's on because he said that would be good. Watching you eat will give him more material. So, but it'll be great. We're going to provide the chicken. Yeah, we're going to start eating at 5:30. So, you know, if you can bring your dish and have it here before 5:30, like at 5:15, that'd be great. So we're going to start eating at 5:30. The schedules for reading your Bible through in a year are still out there. We've got several out there. For those guys who came out on Friday night for Act Like Men, I was reading this morning in Job in the reading calendar, and in verse 3, God looks at Job and says, "Act like a man." And I'm like, wow, that's good. Good reminder. Also, if you're planning on coming to the pre-Awana dinner on Wednesday night, please sign up for that because that helps Karen and the ladies know what to prepare. Awana is started back up, and so for all the kids to be part of that. And if for any reason Awana or a Wednesday service will be closed, we follow the schedule that Kalamazoo Christian does. So if they're closed on a Wednesday, then Awana will be closed, okay? We also will try to post it on Channel 3 and Channel 8. So those are the announcements. We got one more announcement. Joel Ritzma is going to come up here with an announcement. Is there a microphone up here? Thank you.
You're lucky. I only have 3 pages. There's normally 3 reasons I am up here. One, thank heavens there's nobody in the back and there's nobody here. Number 2, it may be Gideon, so I'm going to start with this one, see if you can catch on. It's real quick. The story, pastor starts like a joke, so do I. So, there's a $100 bill, a $5 bill, and a $1 bill. The $100 bill, they're about ready to be toasted because their life expectancy is done. So, the $100 bill says, hey, I've really had a great life. I've gone all around the world. I bought fabulous dinners. I can honestly say I bought some stuff that I probably never should have bought, but that wasn't on me. $50 bill says, hey, I've had a great life, too. I've been all around the United States, bought fabulous dinners, too. And I've had a great life. The $1 bill says, well, my life's been kind of boring. I've been stuck in church. Yeah. Well, maybe you still haven't figured out why I'm up here. Well, it's not going to be about Gideon. So now you're probably going, uh-oh, Joel's talking about what? Money. Yeah, that's right. Tom and myself would like this church to change a new leaf. What is this new series title that Thad has come up with?
Game Changers. It's on the wall.
People, what is the new thing?
It's what?
Game Changers.
All right, one of the game changers in your life is your finances. If you have never taken this class, I'm going to challenge you to take it. If you have taken it, you can take it for free. Retake it, and I highly recommend some should maybe retake it just to get a refresher course. If you've never taken it, I need 10 families to make this thing worthwhile. We'll do it with 6, but I would really like to see 10. My question is to you, how committed are you to being a game changer? How committed are you to God? You can't be a game changer if you don't know Christ. In the book, he speaks over 700 times about finances. He taught 36 parables about finances right flat out. My question is you, how committed, how is your integrity? I bet if every one of your kids had a sporting event, you would take that kid there, you would be there on time, no matter what. This is a 9-week class. You got to be there for all 9 weeks. It costs about $125. If you failed this class at the end of it, or if you don't like it, go back to your old ways. But if you failed after 9 weeks, you say you just can't make it, and you can prove to me that you can't make it doing this way, I'll pay the $125 back, but I get to see your budget. I get to see where you put your money, how you spend your money. Because I guarantee you this will pay back tenfold easily. Now, the question I have is, how committed are you to being a game changer? How committed are you to the church? I want to tell you right now, these are not my words. These are God's words. This is all about God. He tells us not to be slackers, to watch the ants and see how they work. He says, in the house of the wise, their barns are full and full of drink. What kind of a plan do you have? Where is your debt line? Do you tithe? If you don't, I'm going to challenge you to do that. Question I really have for you is, do you give your kids money to go to Sunday school? You're just a passer along. You're an enabler. Make them give their own money. Start them now. Make them work at home and pay them to work. America youth doesn't know how to work. Whoa, what did I hear? Amen. Praise the Lord.
You got a bunch of oh me's right here.
Oh me, oh my, oh no. Make them work for the money. Make them start giving now. There's nothing better than a cheerful giver. When we give our collection, here's another quick joke. A pastor one time got down and walked down the aisle as the collection plate was going back and forth, and everybody did not like that. He got back up on the pulpit. He said, "What's wrong with you people? Don't you like me watching put your tithe in?" They went, "No." He says, "Okay, take one look. Look way up high. Watch that man watch you." He said, "When you get to the Golden Gate, what's he going to say to you? Well done, good and faithful servant? Or is he going to say, away with you. You have not dealt with my stuff properly." It's not our stuff, people. It's all about God. It's all his. Tom wants a break. I want to teach a class on finances. Are you willing to step up to the plate and do finances God's way? The class will start at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. I can't get out of bed. You get up and go to work. Give me a break. These people are here at 9 to practice music. He preaches all week. Give me a break. Get here at 9. Let's change your finances. Let's change this church God's way.
All right. So the name of the class is Financial Peace University, and it's really good stuff. So I'd like to encourage you to get involved with that. All right, let's have a word of prayer. And Lord, as we come to you, I thank you that you're a God that you provide. You provide for this church in many ways. You provide individually in our lives. And Lord, we do think of those who are hurting right now. I pray for Alan, Diane Turner and their family as their son-in-law passed away. And we just pray that you would provide the comfort that they need and the peace that they need. We thank you that they have confidence in you. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know you in a way where they can have confidence, and no matter what happens in life, I pray that through the passages we look at this morning, through the sermon this morning, that we would see that our God is a game changer because, Lord, you bring security, and you can bring that security to any person in this room. Lord, as we sing praises to you this morning, I just ask that you would be pleased with our hearts. I know the message of each song that we sing, Lord, it's all driven to help us to understand who you are, because you are a great God, you have a great name, and you are a great King. And so, Lord, to you be all the praise. Speak to us in new and refreshing ways this morning. Challenge us, move us, make us into the people that you want us to be. And so, Lord, just we dedicate this time to you, and we do ask that you meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. Thank you. All right, as you find your way back to your seats, if the ushers could come forward to take up the morning offering. And when you get back to your seat, you can be seated. So if the ushers could please come forward to take up the offering.
Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for allowing everyone to be able to come to your house today and have Pastor preach a good sermon today. Please bless the offering and let us have a good night. In your name, amen.
Splendor, he could have come in pageantry. He could have worn a royal robe worthy of a king. Instead, when Jesus came to us that holy silent night, a humble birth was just a glimpse of how he'd live and die. He chose the cross, he heard the call, he saw the need and gave his all. His heart compelled by love's greatest cause to see. Garden long before he was betrayed. He could have summoned angels to come and end the pain, but he willingly surrendered there as he laid down his life, the shepherd given as the lamb to be our sacrifice. He chose the cross, he heard the call, he saw the need and gave his all. His heart compelled by love's greatest cause to see.
All right, would you stand with us as we sing Your Great Name?
Thank you. to be close, close to your side. So heaven is real and death is alive. I want to hear voices of angels above, singing as one, hallelujah. Holy, holy God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee. God Almighty, the great I am.
going to sing one more song, and it's a new one. But sometimes when we sing, we say words because we believe them. And we'll sing something, and we're glad to repeat it because it's something we know, it's something we believe, and we're excited to say, yes, this is it. And then there are times that we need to repeat some words. Sometimes we need to hear something over and over because maybe we struggle with it. Maybe we doubt it. Or maybe we don't believe it yet. So this next song, it's the name of it is The King of My Heart. And we're going to repeat a couple phrases about God being good. And a couple phrases about He never lets us down. And maybe you felt let down. Maybe you feel like maybe He hasn't been as good as you thought He could be. And I hope that as we sing this song, that you'll let the reminder that you'll be given in this song, that God is good, and He doesn't let us down. And we can sing this with faith and confidence in who our King is. Let's sing it out here together.
Gonna let
never let us down. I thank you that you are good. And Lord, as we live life, sometimes things get hard. And I thank you that this morning you want to instill into each and every one of us that you are the King. You are the great I Am. There is no other name but yours that brings not just salvation for eternity, but also salvation right now here in this earth. And so, Lord, to you, we just lift up our hands, our hearts. And we say, God, we love you. We thank you for being who you are. I thank you, God, that you will never, ever let us go, and that you will always, always be good. So to you, Lord, be all of our praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as we talk about being a game changer, to me, that song is a game changer. Who is the wind behind your sails in life? I hope that you know your Lord. I hope that you know him personally. At this time, we will dismiss the children to Children's Church. And let's take our Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 1. We're going to right back to the same verse we looked at last week. And we're going to look at a couple more chapters and some thoughts here that go right along with Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. And this morning, I hope that you can find that God gives security when he says, I make you a king and a priest unto God, that brings security to your life. There were three engineers that were riding in a car. One was a mechanical engineer, one was an electrical engineer, and one was a computer engineer. The car broke down and coasted to the side of the road. Hang on, said the mechanical engineer. The problem is probably the engine. Let me have a look at it. I'll have us on the road again in no time. Wait, says the electrical engineer. The way it just stopped like that, I think it's an electrical system. Let me have a look at it. I'll get us going again in a minute or two. Hold on, says the computer engineer. Why don't we all just turn the car off, close all the windows, get out of the car, and then get back in again and see if it starts? All right. Revelation 1:6. For those who don't work on computers, how do you fix a computer? You turn it off and turn it back on, right? You got to close the windows, that's right. Revelation 1:6, it says, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are made kings and priests unto God. Now, it's interesting. This verse doesn't tell us we're made kings and priests over each other. We're made kings unto God. It's a status, a position, a reality that he gives to us that makes us special to him. To be made a king unto God is to be made an overcomer. We looked at that last week, several verses about how we triumph in this world. We have victory in this world. We overcome this world because Christ is in us. And it's only because Christ is in us. That's what makes us an overcomer. And so this morning, I want to look at some more verses here in Revelation that talk about being an overcomer and the security that that gives us in God. So let's go to chapter 2 in Revelation. Here's something about an overcomer. An overcomer perseveres unto the end. They make it all the way to the end. And if you don't persevere in your faith, that means you are not an overcomer. You don't persevere to the end so you can have the right faith. Having the right faith makes you persevere unto the end. Because our faith is a gift that comes from God. The gift that he gives us is a gift that does not get lost. Because John 10 tells us that he holds us in his, well, his Father holds us in his hand, and no one can take us from the Father's hand. Revelation 2, look at verse 11. It says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Now again, let me just reiterate. Persevering to the end does not keep you from being hurt with the second death. Your persevering to the end doesn't keep you from being hurt with the second death. The fact that he has already made you an overcomer, because of this you overcome, this is what assures you that you will not be hurt with the second death. So what is the second death? Revelation 20:14. It says this. It says, in death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So the promise that God makes is if you're an overcomer, it's actually Jesus making this promise. If you're an overcomer, you will not be hurt with the second death. The second death is when death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. Usually when you throw something into the fire, it burns up and ceases to exist, correct? But back in chapter 19 in Revelation, it describes the lake of fire this way. It's talking about some that have been thrown in there, and it says that they are tormented day and night forever and ever. So this second death is not a death that ends things. The second death is a death that continues death for all eternity, because you are separated from God in torment in the lake of fire. Nobody wants to be hurt with the second death. This great promise here is Jesus says, to him that overcomes, you will not be hurt with the second death. That's awesome. We don't have to fear the lake of fire. We don't have to fear eternal punishment. There's nothing about the judgment of God that has to be scary to us, because we are promised that if we are an overcomer, remember, what makes us an overcomer? Not our own works. It's Jesus in us. We will not be hurt with that second death. Now let's go to chapter 2 and verse 26. It says, and he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Now again, your overcoming does not give you power over the nations, but his making you an overcomer and the fact that you are such, this is what gives you power over the nations. You're a ruler with Christ. Now you say, what does it mean, that power over the nations? Well, that word for nations, it deals with those who are outside of the family of God. Here's the truth. When you are in Christ, you overcome the world. You overcome everything. You triumph over it. You have victory over it. That is everything that is anti-God. Anything that is against him. And someday, he will establish a physical kingdom. And he will allow you to be with him in that kingdom, which will be reigning over the nations of the earth. It's a great thing to know that you will always be by Christ's side. There's such security in that. Let's go to chapter 3 in verse 5 in Revelation. It says, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This is a great promise. If you're an overcomer, you have Christ in you. That means that you will not be hurt with the second death, but it also says that your name will not be blotted out of the book of life. Now, why is that important? That your name does not get blotted out of the book of life. Well, someday there will be the final judgment. Not the final countdown, the final judgment. And at the final judgment, we will all stand before, all those who are unsaved will stand before a great white throne. And God will open the books. And there's a book called the Book of Life in Revelation 20, verse 14. It talks about this. And whoever's name is not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. If your name is blotted out of the book of life, you are cast into the lake of fire. But the great promise that Jesus gives here, he says, listen, if you are an overcomer, if Christ is in you, you will not have your name blotted out. I can't do anything bad enough to get my name blotted out. I didn't do anything good enough to get my name put in. Jesus did the work for me. And here's what Jesus continues to do. He will keep my name in that book if I'm an overcomer. Someone who has Christ in them until the end. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12. This is a great verse here. It says, him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. All right, there's a lot of great stuff, but I want to focus on the one thing that's really secure. He says, if you're an overcomer, he makes you a temple, a pillar in the temple of God. Now, if you have a pillar in a building, that pillar is necessary to hold the structure up. If you remove the pillar, the structure crumbles. Here's the security that God gives you. You are a pillar in the temple of God. If God were to lose you, the temple of God would come crashing down. That's great security in your salvation, isn't it? Because if God were to lose you, let's go back to what we talked about last week with the chess. We often think of ourselves as pawns, but what does God tell us? Jesus says, I have made you kings unto God. In the game of chess, if you lose the king, the game is over. God makes you a king on his chessboard. And if he loses you, he loses. What does that tell you? You cannot be lost. It also tells us here that you will no longer go out. You can't get kicked out of heaven. That's pretty cool, right? Because some of you, you're sitting here and you're going, you know, I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to get to heaven, but I'm not a good person. I might mess up when I get there. The truth is, when you get to heaven, you're there for good. He's never going to let you down by losing you. He will hold on to you for all eternity. And then look at verse 21 in chapter 3. It says, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. See, Jesus overcame by dying on the cross for our sins and then not staying dead, but coming back to life and rising again from the dead. He overcame. We overcome through our faith in what he did. So he overcame, and he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And here's what he says. You overcome, I'll let you sit with me in my throne. If you were going to England and you were able to visit the Buckingham Palace and you were in the throne room, do you think they would let you onto the throne? You think they'd let you go, oh yeah, come on, and we let everybody sit here? No. In fact, if you were to attempt to do so, you would spend some time in an English prison. Because to sit on the throne is a privilege given to a select few. But with God, Jesus looks to you and he says, I overcame. I didn't do this for an empty reason. I did this because I want you to come and to sit with me in my throne. That's awesome. You know what kind of security that should give you as a believer in Jesus Christ? To understand that with Christ in you, when it's all said and done, he'll let you climb up into his throne and sit with him? And you're going, oh, come on. It's going to be a long, long line. I'll never get there. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. You want to sit in the throne, he's going to let you sit in that throne. And you probably won't even have to take a number. See, this is what salvation means to us. It means that we are secure in him. The security of the scripture, it gives us, Christ saves us. This is an extraordinary thought. If he loses you after he saves you, he loses, period. And this is what he says. This is his own testimony that he says about you. You are a king to him. It is impossible to be lost after you are saved. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You're sitting here and you could be thinking in your mind, okay, I know people that believed in God when they were little babies or little children, and they got older and they quit believing in God. They're not overcoming. The world whoops them all the time. So how is God true? Well, we need to understand that overcoming the world, overcoming sin, overcoming evil in our life, is the work that God is doing in salvation. And it is a process, sanctification, the setting us apart for himself. It's a lifelong process. But someone who says, I prayed when I was little and I'm saved because of that, but they have no evidence of overcoming in their life, the truth is that person is not overcoming because Christ is not in them. This is something we've been taught so wrong for so long. That if you pray and you tell God to save you, he has to save you because you told him to. The truth is, he wants to save you. And a child who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they understand it, he will save them. But if he saves them, they will not lose that salvation. It will stay with them. So if there's someone who says, I prayed when I was a child, but now I don't believe in God anymore, they never had salvation. And it wasn't that God was unfaithful in what he's supposed to do. It's just that God is not bound by your prayer. God is not bound by your work. If we prayed to be saved, then the Bible lies when it says that we are not saved by works. If praying and if doing something that we do saves us, then it's our own righteousness that's saving us. And that's not the case. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How do I know if I've received his gift of salvation? I know because in me there is fruit. Not fruit that I'm bearing, it's fruit that Christ grows in me. And the fact that I live my life, now, it doesn't mean I'm perfect. None of us are. Doesn't mean we don't have setbacks. We all do. But we continue to overcome. And when we fail, we confess and he forgives. We never lose the salvation if we have it. We put too much stock in, because the Bible, and my whole point of this message is I want you to know that you're saved, okay? I want you to know that. But before you can know that you're saved, you need to know what salvation is. And salvation is the work of Christ in you that continues until the end. That's his work. And if you say, well, I believed it when I was little and I've quit believing it, then his work didn't continue. So that was your work when you were little. It wasn't his. Look with me here at Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself also bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. First of all, the Spirit bears witness with us and tells us whether or not we are children of God. I've met a lot of people that they prayed the prayer, they had a euphoric feeling, and then it went away. The Spirit is not a euphoric feeling. And the Spirit bears witness with your feeling. Doesn't mean you don't have a euphoric feeling. You could have had one and truly been saved, but don't trust the feeling for your salvation. We trust Jesus for our salvation. And what he does when he saves us is his Spirit that he puts inside of us. 1 Corinthians 3 says that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in us. And he begins to witness to us. He begins to talk to us and tell us, you are my child. And how do we know that he's doing that in our life? How do we hear that voice? What is the evidence of him speaking to us? Well, the evidence is seen in how we live. We overcome the world. And his Spirit continuously witnesses to us, you are a child of God. How do you know? You're overcoming the world. And then you suffer. And somebody comes down on you because you're witnessing for Jesus and you suffer for Jesus' sake. And you know what? That is an evidence to you. You are overcoming. But if you don't have the Spirit witnessing to you and saying, you are a child of God. If you're wondering, you're going, well, I did this, I did this, I did this. Then you know what? You're working for your salvation. And no one has ever earned their own salvation. And today, the Lord wants you to have security in him, not yourself. He wants you to trust him. Do you know that you are his today? He makes you an heir with Christ. Not just an heir, a joint heir. What's an heir? A-I-R? No, it's H-E-I-R. An heir is someone who inherits something. An heir takes on the privileges and power of the predecessor. And you, when you're saved, are made an heir with Christ. Not just an heir, not just, you know, a lesser heir. You are joint. You receive all the salvation that Jesus gives. All the great promises, they're yours. The eternal life that he obtained when he overcame is what he gives to you. And you will overcome. Do you know that you are his? Because you've been freed from your sin. Do you know that you're his by the way that his Spirit is working in you? During the initial construction of the Golden Gate Bridge, they didn't have any safety nets or safety harnesses. All right? We look at it now and go, that's crazy. Well, that's why OSHA and things like that exist now, because of that. And during the first phases of the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge, 23 men fell to their deaths. For the final part of the project, a large net was put out as a safety precaution. And at least 10 men fell into the net, but were saved. Even more interesting than that is after they installed the net, the workers' production increased 25%. Why? They were confident. They knew that as they were working, that there was salvation below, not just death below. And some of us, the way that we serve Christ is we serve Christ as if we have death below. And he wants to give to you this confidence that when he saves you, you will serve him. He wants you to serve him and be productive in the way that you serve him. And so this morning, I want you to know that you have security in Jesus Christ. Heaven would crumble before he would lose you if you are saved. But now only you can answer this question. The Spirit will speak to you. Are you a child of God? I'd like to invite the praise team to come up here. They're going to sing a closing song. And I've got some verses I have up here. You will read the blue verses. I will read the other verses. And let's stand together as we sing, read these verses together. Let these verses speak to you. Romans 8, 1 through 17. You're reading the blue.
Therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you, through the Spirit, do put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Lord God, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts as we close out this service. I thank you that you have done everything to give us salvation. And Lord, in doing that, you also give us freedom from our sin. I thank you for the security that brings to my life. I can serve you because you have saved me. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here right now that's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe, Lord, they've done spiritual works. Maybe they've done good things, or maybe they've even prayed prayers. I pray that this morning they would find out what it means to have Christ save them, and that they would find the security that your promises bring and that your salvation brings. And so, Lord, just do a wonderful work in each one of our hearts as we close out this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite you, if you've never trusted Christ, I'll be standing at the front. Love to talk to you about that. And if you have, you have security in Jesus Christ. And so let's live like it. Gift that you give of salvation, and I thank you for the way that it could just continues to work in our lives. I thank you that salvation is not something that we have to be good enough to earn or strong enough to keep, but it's something you work in our lives, and it's something that you fulfill, you accomplish. And so, to you, our great God, to the Lamb who sits on the throne, be glory and honor and power and dominion, both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great week. Secure in Jesus.